Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and hosts a radio talk show on WCPT in Chicago. Ben, welcome to the broadcast.
Welcome back, Cotter.
And you think I know what that means?
No, I know you don't, but some of our listeners do. Welcome Back, Cotter was a popular 1970s sitcom starring Gabe.
That's something I definitely don't know.
Kaplan?
Was William Shatner in it?
William Shatner was not in it. Did you see his commercial he did for Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I started to already do storyboards for the Star Trek version.
Okay. What's on your mind, young man?
Well, today I'd like to talk to you about something fairly theoretical, and that is the concept of liberal versus progressive.
Oh, my God. I was going to write a column on this.
Well, we're presaging.
What a step ahead of me.
Yeah, you could use this as sort of a sounding board.
Great minds think alike. I was just thinking about this.
Well, you know, it's after the last elections, I've encountered lots of people who realize how little they know about candidates and about government in general and are kind of grasping for ways to latch on to this information. And one of the things that I think they're exposed to is the way that people running for office or people who are in office characterize themselves quite often as progressive. For example, in the Chicago City Council, we have the Progressive Caucus.
That is correct.
Many people on the national level characterize Bernie Sanders as one of the most progressive candidates. There's also this word called liberal, which has, I think, historically many different meanings. The word liberalism goes back centuries, and I think it has taken on very many different meanings. But I'm interested in modern-day meanings of these things. And you host a talk show on a radio station that calls itself Chicago's Progressive Talk. So I'm just wondering, how do you distinguish these two things?
I'm always saying this in the radio show. I'm always saying things like, you know, they call us liberals or radicals or progressives or, you know, people on the left. I feel as though, to a certain degree, the word liberal has been effectively tainted by years and years and years of a very progressive and very sophisticated and very persistent Republican propaganda machine. So this goes back to when we were kids. We're roughly the same age, although Dave tries to act like he's younger than me.
Hours. Just hours.
This goes back to, you know, the post Barry Goldwater years when Barry Goldwater ran in 64. It was the conservatives who were the outrageous on the perimeter of the mainstream political movement. If you know, Johnson won in a sweeping landslide in 1964.
Which is what you would call the far right at that time?
Yeah, that was the Republican Party. So, I mean, the Republican Party was the far right. And then, of course, in 1968, Richard Nixon won. And it was really Nixon who just began lambasting liberals, liberals, liberals. Every program was a liberal program. And then from there went into, of course, the Reagan years, liberal, 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 until a point came where liberals didn't want to be known as liberals anymore. And so liberals were like wandering in the desert. What do we call ourselves? And they stumbled on progressive. And progressive, I noticed this is funny. Nobody bashes progressives. Everybody wants to be progressive. The other day, I kid you not, I read a Chicago Tribune editorial. That's not the sensational thing. I read them all the time. I know you never read them.
No, I read them every day.
Every day I say I read a Chicago Tribune editorial, people look at me like in dismay. You're kidding. You know, McDumkey, you read them? Anyway, you may have read this editorial. This editorial was the one. It was after Toni Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President, was elected chairman of the Democratic Party.
They wanted her to step up.
Yeah. Are you a reformer? Are you a hack or something like that?
Yeah, there's another set of labels to throw around.
Yeah, they threw like, you know,
reformer.
Hack. Throughout the article, they go, like, the progressives are good. The progressives are good. I'm like, since when are you extolling the values of progressives? You're the newspaper that couldn't even bring yourself to endorse Hillary Clinton.
So it makes me wonder what they think a progressive is.
I think it's a safe word for people to use. It hasn't been denigrated by the Republican propaganda machine the way liberal has. You know, maybe now they're going to start turning their weapons on progressive, and the poor Chicago Tribune editorial board is going to go, oh my God, what are we going to call them now?
The Whigs.
But, you know, it's like a safe thing. Everyone's a progressive.
Do you think that many people, because of this taint, as you called it, of the word liberal, simply, they haven't made any sort of distinction in their mind between the two things. They simply ran from the word liberal, and they needed something else that isn't the word liberal.
I think it's a combination of things. I also believe that there has been a sort of a split in the Democratic Party.
Sort of left and center left?
Left and center. And so the Clintons, this is best embodied by Bill and Hillary Clinton in the 90s, they were the mainstream of the Democratic Party, the liberal establishment. You've heard that word. You know, you talk about liberal elite. So this is another denigration of lefties by the Republican hit machine. Liberals have come to buy into it. And so people who are of the leftist persuasion, I always call them, so people who like believe in single payer health insurance, mm-hmm. were trying to distinguish themselves from the Clintons who came up with their cockamamie health care plan in 1994. They didn't go anywhere. And they adopted the term progressive. And I think that emerged.
The single payer advocates.
I'm just thinking of that one particular issue in which the left split. I mean, I don't know if it's left anymore. The right has been so successful, in my humble opinion, of moving the center to the right, mm-hmm. that what is now considered liberals, like if you read a John Cass column, he talks about liberals all the time. And I'm like, who are you talking about? In fact, I remember having this conversation. This is how denigrated liberals are with Juan Rangel. If you're out there, Juan, hello. Juan Rangel, remember him from UNO many years ago?
Former head of the charter school.
Empire. Named UNO. So one day, I don't know how this happened. I can't remember. He was giving me a tour. Oh, I know. He offered the tour to McDumpke, and I tagged along. They didn't want to kick me out, so they led me on this tour.
We had lunch later.
Yes, we dined. Very good memory.
For some reason, I remember the lunch, not the tour.
It's a delicious lunch, okay? So the tour is fantastic. And so we're walking through the school, and the teacher's leading his children through the school, and the kids are rambunctious as kids can be. And the teacher says, stop, be quiet, and wait. And they stopped and were quiet and waited. And we all watched these kids standing in line quietly. And then the teacher said, okay, come on, let's walk. At which point, Rangel was very proud of that. Rangel, he was like, see, and he looked at me, white liberals say, we can't do that. We Hispanics can't do that. I'm like, wait a minute, what white liberals are you talking about? And then I just started rattling off the white liberals who support the charter school movement. Are you talking about
Mike Madigan?
No, Rahm Emanuel. Your boy, you know, you talk about Mayor Daley. These are all white. Arnie Duncan. These are Barack Obama. Well, he's not white, but you know, it's going down the list. And he was like, hubbity, you know what I mean?
No.
I'm like, I don't know what you're, Penny Pritzker. Who are you talking about? These are all white liberals who've supported your movement, your charter school movement. You owe your charter school movement to white liberals. And Mike Manning is another one. He used his powers to get money to them. Ed Burke is another one. It's like you just want to bash white liberals because it's an easy, convenient tool to bash you, Mr. Rangel, but you're living off your contacts with them. So the inconsistencies of the way we use these phraseologies is always mind-turning.
You know, I said Madigan, but it occurred to me that now I'm starting to even conflate Democrat with liberal.
No, of course. That's what the right wants you to do. Liberal. Liberal Democrat. I don't even know why they...
Redundant.
Redundant. But in the old days, this is, again, so prehistoric. Our listeners, I don't know if they even know this, but there was like a Henry Scoop Jackson was a Democrat who was to the right on foreign policy. So there's distinction within the Democratic Party between hawks and doves, but they all sort of subscribe to the general notion of like helping the larger welfare by, you know, making sure that the poor were fed and that kind of thing. As opposed to Republicans, you're on your own. So liberal has become such a badge of shame or that people don't want to embrace it anymore. And I see nothing wrong with it. Just because they've denigrated it doesn't mean it's a denigration to me. Now, I tease liberals in Chicago because liberals in Chicago have generally supported every mayor that I've been against. So, you know, like Daley and Rahm.
So are there specific issues that you think that are marker issues for people who call themselves progressives? And I'm thinking now about the one that you just mentioned a little while ago, healthcare. I'm just tossing it out there. Is it possible that most people who call themselves progressives would support something like single payer or Medicare for all, whereas someone who calls himself just liberal might be for, you know, the Affordable Care Act and that's it?
That's an interesting question. I think that at one time, that may have been true. At one time, a progressive Democrat would be someone who was more to the left on something like health care. But now I think everybody wants to be a progressive. Nobody wants to be a liberal anymore. So I don't even know if those distinctions mean anything. I know many Democrats who call themselves progressives who are upset with Bernie Sanders. They felt as though that Bernie Sanders was making promises that couldn't be kept. John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, who was a supporter of Hillary Clinton. I remember him saying,
So for things like free college.
Free college. You're making promises you can't keep. Don't make promises you can't keep. And I was always startled by that. I was always confused. Why? That's what politicians do.
So John Lewis might not be a progressive then.
But he would be the first to call himself a progressive.
Really?
And John Lewis, I mean, his whole life is the embodiment of progressive causes. He, of course, was in the front lines of the civil rights movement.
What are some of those progressive causes?
Again, I do not draw this distinction between progressivity and liberalism, but the head of the list would be civil rights, the end of Jim Crow, integration, you know, fostering a greater common good where black and whites are together. That is a progressive cause that goes back to like Eleanor Roosevelt.
I wasn't really paying attention to this in the 60s, but it seems to me, looking in hindsight, that the word progressive wasn't bandied about as much in the 60s as it is now.
There was a magazine out of Wisconsin called The Progressive, which was a liberal lefty newspaper. I don't even know if it's still in existence. I used to get it.
From back then.
And back in the 70s, I would read it. So progressive already had a connotation of being, you know, to the left. I'm not a lexicographer. I would have to go back and study this, which I probably will do before I write about this. But I do believe that the term progressive was out there, but I don't believe it had taken over the way it has now, and everybody wants to be known as a progressive as opposed to being known as a liberal. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being a liberal. Most of my political heroes were liberals, you know, Bobby Kennedy or Gene McCarthy or George McGovern. They were all liberals. So they were all, as far as I'm concerned, the things they championed have stood the test of time, as opposed to the Republicans of that age, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan. You know, I think the things that George McGovern was advocating in 1972 have far more acceptance than the stuff that Richard Nixon represented, in my humble opinion.
Let's think about some things that are facing us today, some issues that are facing us today. And let's see if you would paint progressive with some of these positions. And I've got a little list here.
All right. That's the list.
Campaign finance. Some people advocate for a system of only public financing. In other words, there are no private donations. Do you think that a typical liberal would be in favor of that as opposed to just simply having donor caps?
Okay, this is a great question. And I love this little game we're playing here. That's what I would call a reformer issue, a reform issue. That's the kind of issue that should cross over parties. It shouldn't be a liberal or conservative. Anybody who's looking for a transparent, fair, equitable system should want something like caps or government contributions so that the wealthy don't completely own our political system. Similarly, fair maps. You've heard that one. The aforementioned Tribune just had an editorial today extolling fair maps in Illinois. Isn't it interesting that they're extolling fair maps in Illinois when the system is controlled in Illinois by Democrats? But I don't see them extolling fair maps in, say, Wisconsin, where it's controlled by Republicans, or Texas, where it's controlled by Republicans.
Just so our listeners know, this is addressing the issue of gerrymandered congressional and state legislature districts every 10 years, redrawing essentially the districts to make sure that the incumbents can win.
So traditionally, these issues, these reform issues that are supposed to clean up government and take away sort of the corrupt elements of government and have efficient, clean government, that's the kind of thing the BGA would extol, were issues that were championed by Republicans and Democrats. So like the blue blood Republicans who came from Lake Forest would believe in clean, efficient government. And so they would be extolling things like campaign finance reform. That Republican Party no longer exists. They're a rapacious bunch of scoundrels, to use Bruce Browner's term, and they want as much power as they can possibly accumulate. And to have that power, you have to destroy any notion of fair, clean, equitable campaign finance.
At least they're focused.
Yeah, they're very focused. I never said they weren't focused. So that has destroyed the notion of reform. Reform, as it's used, is a word that's totally misused all the time now. It essentially has become, again, a tool of the right. When they say reform, they mean taking money and power away from working people in unions and giving it to them.
School reform.
School reform, perfect example. School reform means closing public schools that are taught by unionized teachers and using that money to promote private schools where they pay their teachers less and their union working force is not unionized. They call that reform.
Let's take one that's not so clearly across party boundaries, voting. There are some who advocate for universal voting. In other words, you are registered at birth. Much like Social Security, it's not administered by the states. It's a national system. I think the concept might generally be called increased access to voting. Do you think that liberals versus progressives be interested in that?
That would be what I would call a Green Party, a whole new dynamic. That one is so...
Aren't they more progressive?
Yeah. The old way the word existed, yes. But everybody wants to be progressive now. So there may be some folks who are even Democrats might have problems with what you just... Yeah, sure. The day you're born, you get a Social Security card and you get a voter registration card. Of course, you have to wait till you're 18 to use it. I don't know many Republicans who would want that because they want to limit the number of people who vote because the more people that vote, more likely they are to vote for Democrats. So I would say that that is a left of center view that probably is more of a subset of progressive, if you will, than just the larger progressive thing, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about corporate subsidies? This is something that we're facing now with respect to the proposal to accommodate Amazon and its HQ2 siting in Chicago and elsewhere.
Corporate welfare.
Yeah, there's a couple different positions on this. One is that it's okay to subsidize, to, in other words, give tax breaks to a place like Amazon so they will move here, as long as there are guarantees around things like jobs and a certain level of minority contracting. As opposed to a more restrictive view that there should be no tax breaks or subsidies. So do you see like liberal versus progressive in that issue?
What you extol, the worldview you put out there is a very liberal one in the context that you're drawing it. In other words, that there's nothing wrong, essentially wrong with giving a handout to a corporation to induce them to move to a city so long as you can have some guarantees. And generally, I don't trust the people writing the guarantees to actually make them real guarantees, as we've seen more and more with the city of Chicago. They might as well have written in the sand. But this gets into a larger issue where, again, I've talked about this in articles in the past, that is considered economic development. If you give a handout to Amazon, that is considered economic
development. It's an investment.
Well, I'm just, yeah, it's a, that's how they consider it. That's how the people trying to get you to buy into it. Oh, it's an economic development. But if you were to say, okay, this is one of my favorite examples, I'm going to take the people who clean the Chicago public schools, and instead of making privatization deals that go to a couple of corporations who have good contact with Mayor Rahm, I'm going to actually put employees on the payroll, pay them $40,000 to $50,000 a year, give them pension benefits, health benefits, and make sure that they live in the city of Chicago. That's called waste. So when you help a working man who lives in Austin or Woodlawn or Englewood, it's waste. When you give billions of dollars to Jeff Bezos or some head of corporation who doesn't even live in the Chicago, that's called economic development. That's propaganda, my friend. That's not even like legitimate rhetoric. So is that a progressive view, my worldview? I would say any good liberal whose roots go back to Eleanor Roosevelt would subscribe to what I just said, all right? Whether you call them a progressive, I always call myself a New Deal Democrat. I am a Democrat. You tease me relentlessly every election day. Ben, who'd you vote for?
Liberal
Which
Democrat.
Hack did you vote for? You should hear how he talks to me when we're not on the air.
We'll play those tapes later, listeners.
Yeah. So I'm a Democrat. So, you know, why am I beating around the bush? You know, well, I'm a progressive. Oh, I'm a Democrat. Capital D. I put up with the party. It's like being a Bulls fan. I'm mad at them half the time, you know, but that's who I am.
Bear with me for just one more then. Environmental regulation. There's a couple different positions here, one being that perhaps there should be cap and trade, where corporations who pollute have limits on how much they can pollute unless they buy some credits so that they can trade on the free market. And then there's the whole recycling thing that we try to reuse materials that have already been manufactured. Then there's a different position where forget all that and just create a carbon tax. In other words, price products according to how much energy was used, how much carbon was put into the atmosphere when they were produced, and take that money and give it back to people to spend. I think you won't find people on the same sides of those two issues.
The carbon tax has some crossover with cap and trade to a certain degree. It's like using market forces to try to get people overall to do the right thing. This distinction that you're drawing here, and this is a great exercise. We should make a board game out of this. But this distinction that you're drawing here is less a product of a divide, in my humble opinion, between progressives and liberals, and one between Republicans who are trying to maintain some semblance of credibility as being like intelligent, sophisticated people, so that they're not going around like Donald Trump saying there is no such thing as global warming, that climate change is a non-existent fraud concocted by the Chinese government so they could gain control of our economy. That seems to be the predominant view of the Republican Party at the moment. There was for a time, an element of the Republican Party that was trying to show that it did. We're laughing at these. The people who have taken over that party have lost their minds. There was a group that said, well, we don't believe in government stepping in into a free market, which is, of course, absolutely nonsense, because I don't see any of them opposing the government stepping in to give Amazon 2.25. But put aside the utter hypocrisy of the Republican Party for one moment. When it comes to regulating the environment so we don't all die, you know what I mean? The water's drinkable. We don't believe, the Republicans say, in having the government regulate, but we do believe in market-driven solutions. And so what we can do is, as you say, cap and trade, you know, so some, like a heavy polluter can trade his right to pollute with some non-heavy polluter, and that's a brilliant market-driven. This is kind of like David Brooks. You know who he is? He writes for the New York Times. I want to be different than everybody else. He has this like thing. He hates liberals. What that's all about, by the way.
But not progressives.
But he can't obviously hold a position at the New York Times and be, you know, echoing Trump. So he tries to come up with middle ground.
Like he's always walking the fence.
Yeah. So what he'll do is, you know, he'll suck up to Rahm to show, I have an open mind. You know, I'll write a glowing article about Rahm Emanuel. Are you kidding me? You know, remember once the article, the twofer, I think we talked about it.
Yeah,
we had
Rahm
and Governor Christie.
Right.
The brilliance of Rahm. The sophistication of Christie. He loved them both. Oh, my God. I think he's burned that article. Anyway, you get the point. That's like a weird distinction. You know, guys, you want the planet to survive? You're going to have to intervene to protect it. You might want to dress it up. It's like, again, it's Republicans hate liberals so much. They've been bred to hate them. So these guys, think about this, Dave. In our life, the Republican, if you're like a 30 to 40-year-old Republican, your whole life, you've been told, hate liberals, hate liberals, hate liberals, liberals.
So your knee-jerk reaction is to take the opposite stance
right.
from whatever their stance is.
Absolutely. Whatever it is, whatever they say, I'm going to take the opposite.
No thought involved. Just go there.
Yeah, go there. So they come up with these like bizarre little cap and trade. And then you got the liberals in the Democratic Party who want to show that we're capable of working with the other side, the Rahm kinds. We believe in cap and trade. So I've got people come on and go, you know, Ben, I'm liberal on social issues, but I'm a conservative. I believe in market solutions. Oh, yeah. Well, are you going to join me in my opposition to Amazon? No, Ben, I will not be joining you anytime soon in that one.
Not those particular issues.
Yeah. So, man, they're all over the map. This has been a great topic, Dave, because you're right. There's something called the self-hating liberal. There's a lot of self-hating liberals. Rahm's a self-hating liberal.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there are people like Rahm Emanuel's raised as a liberal. Look who he came to Chicago and waged war on. He waged wars on the other liberals. Chicago Teachers Union. Karen Lewis.
It sounds more like a turncoat liberal, because he probably doesn't hate where he is now. And he's probably not, you know, what you would define as a liberal anymore.
I'd see Rahm Emanuel at the Democratic conventions, and when the people give speeches and extolling the virtues of FDR and John Kennedy. So I think in his heart of heart, he thinks of himself as a liberal. And I remember Clinton was like this. Rahm's always imitating Clinton. All right. Bill Clinton, not Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore, but really when he first came aboard. And if you remember, I don't know if you're paying attention to politics back in the early 90s when Clinton came on. Clinton made a point out of bashing certain liberal ideologies, welfare reform, you know, take money from poor people. It's reform.
Financial regulation.
Financial regulation. Glass-Steagall Act. It began with Clinton. I don't know, even something Sister Soldier. This is way before your time. But when he was running for president, he criticized this rap star, to show that this defends me too, and mm-hmm. I'm like you, middle America, and you know, and I mean, part of that is you can't go too far. I've been thinking a lot about this day anyway, a column I'm writing about, but if you're a politician, you can't go too far ahead of the people that you represent. This is so obvious and clear. It's one of the limitations, but it's the reality of democracy. Otherwise, I won't vote for you. So that was the genius of Clinton, if you call it genius.
Always taking the temperature.
Right, right. Always taking the temperature and not straying too far.
On the edge of innovation, but not on the bleeding edge.
That is correct. And trying to accommodate different factions and forces. And he did a very good job of it. Wall Street, they love Clinton, you know, probably because he got rid of Glass-Steagall. Maybe you're right. I don't know if it's fair to say they're self-hating, but they don't want to be closely identified with liberalism because they realize that Nixon and Reagan and who is the dude from Fox TV that just died? Roger Ailes have so successfully blemished, tarnished what the word means that they don't want anything to do with it.
Well, Ben, that's all we have time for. Thanks for the conversation.
It's a great one. Great topic.
Appreciate it. Listeners, we always welcome your comments and suggestions for future interviews. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/InsideGov, Inside G-O-V. You can tweet us at CHIGOVT. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.